is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, y'all need something to watch? Then you need Movie Spree. Movie Spree is your go-to streaming service with movie bundles, TV series, documentaries, and more. No subscriptions, no contracts, no kidding. Movie Spree offers a whole new way to build a digital content library. Head to ESPN975.com and register to win your 10 free digital movie codes today, thanks to Movie Spree. That's Movie Spree. And don't forget, we got the draft right here on ESPN 97.5. What? That's right. It's brought to you by Rexel. Rexel. RexelUSA.com. RexelUSA.com. It begins tonight at 6, continues tomorrow at 5, and Saturday at noon. All right here on ESPN 97.5, your home for the NFL draft. How about that? And Lance. We got Lance, too, who will be on. So your hits will come right after on NFL Network?
Yeah, pretty quick right after on the NFL Network. I went up last night at about 10 o'clock to get a little video. Shout out to Brandon for jumping up there and helping me. So it will be me, Bucky Brooks, Money Smith, and Rhett Lewis. And we will be talking about everything that happened in the first round. It'll be a, 30 to 45 minute show, I think, is what we're looking at. It depends. And then after that, I'll knock out a second and third round mock draft that will appear on NFL.com in the morning. And then I'll be doing TV on Friday night as well after the draft, on Saturday after the draft, and then on Sunday morning grading the draft, which I'm never a fan of grading tests that haven't been taken, but whatever. It's just, it is what it is. People all want you to grade the draft. So I'll be doing TV the next 4 days for NFL Network. So looking forward to being part of that show and that coverage as well. It's been limited because NFL Network is in Culver City, California, and it's a serious shutdown there, so they can't even get into studio. So it's amazing to see these guys able to work and produce shows and get broadcasts going from remote sites. I'm not sure how the technology even works, but I've learned more about vMix and StreamYard and all these cool technologies that are out there. Are you on House Party by chance? You or Tyler? Are either one of you on House Party, the app?
I downloaded it. I have it.
Yeah, I downloaded it too. House Party is nothing more than a video chat service, but it's more like you can add multiple people on it and have. It's kind of like Zoom, but I guess it's a lot like Zoom. I don't know, but it just doesn't have the same corporate feel to it, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I did it with McCool, who was in Belize, and it was very clean video, man. It was awesome getting a chance to see a good friend who I haven't had a chance to talk to for a while. So that's a way that we could also do the show, is to do an app like that, and so we could see each other and be best friends.
Right. I see. I'm scared of that. Anything like that. See, Jackie tried to get me on Lemon Party app, and mm-hmm. I didn't want any part of that.
Yeah, don't go. Don't download the Lemon Party app.
Lemon Party app. And yeah. So I was like,
Jackie's
no, Jackie.
Always trying to fool people.
I know.
You know the guy you call the cold weather idiot, Michael yeah. Bennis, one of my best friends my whole life since fifth grade. We're on a text string. There's five of us on this text string, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just posts a picture where, so I posted a picture the other day on Instagram where I cut my own hair. I used clippers. I was a little conservative with it, but it's not bad. It actually turned out okay. And because I figured, man, I got to tighten this up I'm getting ready to do TV. I got to give it a shot. It was a ballsy move, because if it had gone, trust me, I was using clippers numbers, and luckily the hair is not I do not have a flowing mane anymore, but I was being very conservative with the clipper numbers, and if I needed to go down, I would go down. And Michael posted, I may need to do that too. I'm getting tired of my hair, whatever the case may be. So he fires off a picture. This completely took it all the way to zero. He's got a big, beautiful, healthy head of hair, and he just said, all right, that's it. I'm going private pile. And he went Full Metal Jacket.
Wow.
Yeah. He is definitely born again hard.
Well, that's terrible. All right, so Daniel had a question. Was it David? David had a question. And David, You could watch our – Lance and I did a sports map video that asked – the very first question that I asked Lance, well, would you rather have Laremy Tunsil or any of these tackles in the draft? And the answer is Laremy Tunsil, right?
Coming out, Laremy would have had a higher draft grade. So that's the only way I can compare him. But Laremy Tunsil – now, I think Jedrick Wills, from a talent standpoint, has – a lot of ability and does some of the same things that Tunsil did coming out. I think he's a better run blocker than Tunsil was coming out. I think Tunsil's pass protection is better coming out, but Tunsil had the bong hit, which dropped him, and Jedrick Wills has some coaches who are not being very complimentary, because apparently he liked to maybe not listen to coaching all the time. That's don't shoot the messenger. That's just what I'm hearing. So even though he's definitely my top tackle, he could end up falling. But once you get past Jedrick Wills, if he falls, now Laremy Tunsil also fell in a draft. Laremy Tunsil was a top three talent in my estimation, but he fell because the gas mask bong hit got released by his mom's ex-boyfriend right before the draft. We know that's why he fell. But if you stack him up, I mean, it's clearly Tunsil. Tunsil's clear. He's way more polished than Becton, way better tape than Wirfs. And he's much more athletic than Andrew Thomas. So it's Tunsil is the easy number one out of that group coming out.
All right. Sean wants to talk about the Saints. What do you say, Sean?
Hey, so I've read some reports that the Saints have been kind of doing their homework and talking to Jordan Love. I just wanted to get your opinion, see if that's just due diligence or if there's actually any connection there, or if they'll just kind of go consensus with, like, Justin Jefferson or Patrick Queen, Kenneth Murray, something like that.
Depends. I think it depends on how the draft board stocks up or stacks up for the Saints. If the guys they want are not there, and I have not ruled out the Saints trading up, because I know they want some speed at wide receiver to go opposite of Mike Thomas. So I think Jalen Reagor is a possibility. They could get a wild hair and fly up the draft board after Henry Ruggs. But if they sit still, I gave them a linebacker because it's such a big need. Patrick Queen. I actually gave him Kenneth Murray instead of Patrick Queen, because I'm finding out that there's some NFL teams that have Murray actually ahead of Queen, which I don't see personally. But it is what it is. I like both the linebackers. But I did for a little bit consider giving Jordan Love to the Saints. And I think that's going to be a little bit of a – they have to do their due diligence because he does have talent. And if the Saints – I could see the Saints taking Jordan Love, 100%. Because if you really like the talent, it's rare that you get an opportunity to get a discount on talent at a position that important. So I would not rule out the Saints with quarterback. I wouldn't rule them out. I don't know that that's a favorite, but I definitely think that's a potential, quote-unquote, on the board for the Saints. And, John, you know how it goes. If you have a chance to get a quarterback while you've got one, to where the wait time isn't as dramatic, because I don't think Taysom Hill is the long-term solution at quarterback personally. There's just too many injury. It's just too much. Now, he's been healthy with the Saints, but he does have an extensive injury history and injury past, and I think what he does now is what he's best at. I think he's a very special talent because he is that Swiss Army knife.
I don't think that this is the year, because you just signed Breeze to a $50 million deal, that he'd have to sit for 2 years. You waste his first 2 years. I think next year, unless you love Jordan Love, unless you're ready for him to sit and you're okay with him sitting for two full years, I think next year's the year that you draft him.
I would probably agree with you, just because teams don't like
That's
give away
too
2 years.
Now you only got 2 years at him cheap, and then you got the fifth year.
Is that all guaranteed, though, with Breeze? Are both years guaranteed? Or can you get out of it after a year?
I don't know what the guaranteed money is, but it's $50 million. 25 each. And I don't think – listen, unless Breeze falls apart this year, which is highly doubtful, you can see him playing both those years.
You could, but if it is a bad season, I could also see him retiring. If he loses an entire season to COVID, I could see him potentially shutting it down too. I think that's kind of the unknown. Like, do those seasons count as accrued seasons? But they don't count. Like, There is no forward. Now we get into a totally different conversation where the NFLPA does not, they did not put force majeure in the contract, in the contracts. So while the NBA has that and that's leverage, the NFL doesn't have that. Theoretically, the players could demand full payment for not playing. No. Theoretically, the league could fold because the owners say, okay, then we're filing for bankruptcy and that's it. And
then 1 year of guaranteed salary for Drew Brees. So okay. That's a possibility then.
Yeah.
That's a possibility then. But, yeah, then you know, but then Drew Brees knows if you draft a quarterback there. I mean, quarterbacks that are incumbents do not. I mean, look at the way Brett Favre handled it. Not well. Ben Roethlisberger, whatever, Mason Rudolph, whatever. I mean, they do not handle it well when you bring in another relatively high pick, and especially if you have to take him in the first round. Drew Brees would probably play a little pissed off all year, knowing what that you just signed him to a 2-year deal and you're only planning on giving him the first year. Mm-hmm. But it's a 1-year guarantee, so you know what? Live with it. It sounds like, you know what? Drew Brees, you made plenty of money. You're a Hall of Famer. All of those things. Won a Super Bowl. All those things. But, you know, it will piss him off if you go ahead and get Jordan Love in the first round this year. 713-780-3776. Let's get Clay in here quickly before we hit the break. What do you say, Clay?
Hey, Lance. Jags fan here. Where do you see them going with the 9-20 pick? I know they got needs at cornerback, wide receiver, and defensive tackle, you know, more specifically. And I saw Lachan Fora tweeted yesterday that they might trade up to the 3 spot. Do you think for a quarterback, or do you think that's for Okuda if that was to happen?
What I've heard is they actually are not super interested in moving up and that they want to add and stack picks for next year. That they want to – now, that could be moving out of 20. They could sit still at 9. 9's a very valuable pick because you have to have something that teams covet for teams to move up. And 9 could be the home for either a pick you really like and maybe C.J. Henderson, which is a huge need pick for them at cornerback, or it's going to be a spot where you have teams like the Atlanta Falcons, maybe the Dallas Cowboys, maybe even the Raiders, if they are desperate at cornerback, who could jump in there. Because there are two primary top two cornerbacks in this draft, that is a very valuable pick. Could be number 8, Arizona, and number 9, Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville will go defensive line. I've heard they like Javon Kinlaw. I don't know if they draft Kinlaw at 9, but if they traded back, I think Kinlaw would be the target if they traded back. Derrick Brown, Kinlaw, C.J. Henderson, those are all potential additions. And then my 20th, I gave him Justin Jefferson. Because they don't have a good slot. DeeDee Westbrook's really done nothing over there. And if you want to give Gardner Minshew a chance, then give him a target, give him a threat. So I gave him Justin Jefferson, who I think would be an awesome pick at 20 for them.
There it is. Highway to hell. Let's take a break. It is 8:15 on ESPN 97.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 818. Shortest breaks in the world, in the history of the world, right here on ESPN 97.5. And I want to remind you, what about the poker tournament? It's this Saturday at 2 o'clock. We raised over 2,000. Now, right now, two tournaments, we've raised over 4,200. I say we. I didn't do anything. It's pretty much Fred and Jerry Bowes. And they've done an unbelievable Jerry Bowe. And they've done an unbelievable job. $50 tournament, an optional $10 donation. Do the $10 donation. And the $10 donation goes right to the two charities, Kids Meals, which delivers food to children in the Houston area, and Southeast Texas Food Bank in Beaumont. So go to sportsmap.com, and you can find out how to get on. Email promotion or email promotion at gowmedia.com, and you'll see how to get in. It's very easy. All you have to do is download Poker Stars. Very fun. had a great time. You can win money if you don't get your ace-king cracked by ace-queen, which is the worst thing in the history of the world. So that'll happen. But all you got to do is get there. We had, I don't know, 150 players or so. You'll be busy, Lance. You won't be able to play this week, but maybe next week.
I 100% will be playing next week.
Yeah.
I will be jammed up all weekend long, which I wasn't sure if that would be the case or not. But once next week hits, I mean, it's on. I'm going to be going out to the beaches, nail salons. I'll be not doing social distancing. I won't wear a mask in public. Everything goes after the draft.
No.
Everything.
You'll get a fine. You'll get a fine.
Well, I thought you said.
It's in place Monday, starting Monday. If you're out in public, I wonder if I have to wear a mask on the golf course while I'm playing golf.
Oh, yeah.
That might be considered exercise, so probably not.
Well, you don't have to?
No, here's exercising.
How about that? The most stringent exercise in the world, golf. You don't have to wear a mask.
Yes. No, it is actually a violent. I mean, there is a violent motion. Well,
it absolutely.
It shouldn't be.
Oh, how did Tiger break his knee? How did Tiger break his back? Oh,
sex
right.
And somebody hit him with a golf club, or he ran into a brick mailbox.
That was the back of his head.
Hurt himself trying to do the inverted wheelbarrow.
His back window. That's what happened there. So let me ask you this. Besides Tua, biggest gamble in this draft?
It could be Simmons. It could be just because you're not 100%. You're betting on the athlete and the potential rather than the tape and the clean positional fit. You don't really know what you have on him. And you have to take – for me, a big gamble is when you have to take somebody very early. The easy pick is to say Joe Burrow. He's had 1 year of success, and you're going all in on him. But to me, I don't really consider it that, because even if you bust and even if he's not a player, you kind of have to make this pick. He's an Ohio kid. He's coming off a 60-touchdown season where his tape was really good. He was accurate. He has good tape, so you're betting on the tape, you're betting on the production, you're betting on the elite intangibles. If he busts, he busts, but this is kind of a no-brainer at one at this point for the Bengals. So I don't even like to include Burrow because that makes a lot of sense. So I would say besides Tua, I'll tell you another one. Well, it's not really – I shouldn't say the Giants with their quarterback pick. I think it's Simmons. I think it's Simmons based on the way that this is shaping up. But with that said, I got Simmons as the fifth best player in this draft. But I'm also projecting him based on his physical traits. I'm not relying just on the film, because the film to me felt like a mid-first rounder. But I've also learned under Ballard, who is a big, you project what they are capable of doing with more time and more coaching and their athletic and physical abilities. And when you add all that up, you have to push Simmons up the board.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I guess Simmons, I just know it's a good football player. That's a good football player. He's going to be good. I mean, everybody, well, Jabril Peppers didn't. I know Jabril Peppers didn't. But Jabril Peppers is a different kind. I don't know. I just love the way that Simmons plays. I mean, he was just all over the field. And he did cover some slots. Some guys in the slot against LSU anyway in the championship game, and he did just fine. I mean, he can do stuff that when you're an athlete like that, I get it. He doesn't have a position, and that's risky in the NFL. But I'm a DC, I'm gonna take advantage of. I think that reminds me a lot of the quarterback situation. Well, he's a runner, not a thrower. He can do both, but you know what? We want a pocket guy. I think that could be changing. If Brent Venables can find a way to use the guy and, you know, succeed and make him one of the best linebackers in the game, I'm sure NFL minds can do that.
Well, he wasn't one of the best linebackers in the game. That's just it. He was a safety most of his time. He covered slot a lot. See, this is the problem. And I thought I was the only one talking about this, and then I read Bob McGinn's art. Bob McGinn, who I consider to be the best fact finder out there, in all of football as a writer. You want to look him up, he's at The Athletic. He talks to a variety, and he's been doing this for years. He talks to a variety of GMs, personnel executives, scouts, things like that. And I was reading the same stuff that I have concerns about, where he covers a slot, but he's not great at covering a slot. He's going to get targeted a ton if he plays free safety, where guys will try to make him play in coverage at 230, whatever he weighs, 230, 235 pounds. At linebacker, he is not ready to play linebacker because he doesn't have the instincts yet to recognize blocking schemes, to fit up into the fits, and he's not there yet. He's not ready. So you got to make sure you know. Well, I think some people believe you deploy him around the field in a variety of positions. And I think, like, if you gave him to Todd Bowles, I think Todd Bowles could do some good stuff with him in Tampa Bay, for example. I do think there are some coordinators who are creative with how they do it. And I think that he might be a little ahead of his time because he matches up with a variety of different types of offenses. Like Arizona has to deal with George Kittle. Man, how good would it be to have Isaiah Simmons to match up with George Kittle? You can't find – safeties aren't big enough and linebackers aren't fast enough. Well, here you have the perfect hybrid. You got a fast safety linebacker right there, so that makes sense. What about spying Russell Wilson? Oh, I got a guy. I got a guy, Isaiah Simmons. But then you say, well, Lance, what about every other team you face? You can't just do it for specialty teams. Well, I think he's going to learn to play linebacker. I think teams will learn how to use him effectively. So I would bet on Isaiah Simmons. But it's not a lock that he becomes a great linebacker because he wasn't a great linebacker at Clemson. He was a great athlete. Against lesser competition.
That. However, who's the top-ranked linebacker in this draft? That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what he's the top-ranked draft. Everybody has him as the top-ranked linebacker in this draft. So he obviously...
Because you have to give him a position.
Well, right.
Some people have him top-ranked safety.
I haven't seen that. But okay.
I'll show it to you. There's some people who have him as a top-ranked safety. I can't see him playing safety. To me, he's a big nickel, meaning... He's a safety who can play the slot. He can play around the line like a linebacker. You could use him like that. But we'll see.
Well, everywhere I see that I'm looking up linebackers, he's number one. He's number one.
No, they give him. Yeah, he's mine too. You have to designate him linebacker.
That's what I said, and you said, well, no, he's not. Yes, yeah,
no,
he is.
But he's not. But I'm telling you, they call him linebacker, but he ran a 4.39. Like, he actually is not a clean. I'm just telling you. He's not a clean linebacker yet. He doesn't really know how to play linebacker. But you have to call him that because he's not a safety. That's the whole problem, John. He's not really a linebacker yet, and he's definitely not a safety. So what is he?
I just think he's going to be really, really good. That's all. Okay. I just think he's just a football player. And when he gets to the NFL, he'll learn. And maybe he was a hybrid in college, but he'll find a position. And he'll learn. All I know is the dude made a boatload of plays. Watched plenty of Clemson games, and he made a boatload of plays.
Let the record reflect. I gave him a 7.0 grade, which means I think he has all-pro potential, so I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I understand the concerns, though, because I do think he has a lower floor than the other guys who I gave 7.0 grades, just for the reasons that we talked about. But I've got him as a potential future all-pro.
All right. Raheel has some... some stuff. Well, maybe we'll save it for when Raheel gets here. Stuff that we need you to say on your NFL broadcast. So we will do that, and we'll. You know what?
Does he have all more of his analytics? His Raheel analytics?
Well, no. This is a little bit different. This is that wasn't called the Raheel analytics. What was that?
It was like. I don't know. I can't Raheel. I just remember people who follow me on the draft got really upset that. Raheel had some kind of own, like, what is this? This doesn't make any sense. His draft, his analytics aren't really good football analytics. And like, it's just as Raheel, stop. He's winning. He's beating you right now.
Yes, because you are talking about him. He just won. So,
we'll get Raheel in here at 9 o'clock, and he can give you his great draft stuff.
In the meantime, you got to talk about some insurance.
Yeah, so TGS Insurance, I just texted, and they're going to get back with me. I texted money to 232323. When you do that, you have a chance to alter what you're paying for your homeowner's insurance. And that's really a big deal. I know that hurricane season is coming up. It's going to be upon us. And once you have hurricane season, you got to make sure that you have the flood coverage you want. If you need it, you might not live in a floodplain. If you do, and you know you need it, and you have it right now, you can get the same thing with TGS Insurance. They take they have an algorithm that they're able to aggregate multiple A-rated insurance companies. They run your address through their insurance companies, and then they will find you the lowest rate. And when they find you the lowest rate, you can make a decision if you're getting the coverage you want. And it's A-rated coverage, so it's standard coverage. You're going to like that. You can add whatever you want. But why would you pay more for your homeowner's insurance if you get A-rated coverage? Why? Now is the time where you've got to find ways to cut and yet still have quality service. Well, how about don't cut your service, don't cut your coverage, just cut your costs and put more of the money back in your pocket on an annual basis with TGSinsurance.com. If you got a bundle, they can shop your car insurance as well. TGSinsurance.com, that's TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the Coco.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It's the Raheel Draft algorithm. He sent it to us in capitals. He screamed it at us like we don't know. Like it's not in the forefront of American draft research right now. And David says, are you guys saying Raheel is a phony? He's one of the most trusted voices when it comes to draft talk and is at the forefront of knowledge surrounding all things sports or life. Okay. Guys are having a real hard time explaining guys without the RDA. Please hurry, Raheel. We need a clearer way of rating the draftees. The RDA, Raheel Draft Algorithm. I don't know. I would imagine that Raheel, if any of your buddies, Lance, your draft buddies, see what Raheel does, they're probably like, yeah. What the hell is that?
No, they wouldn't give it any thought. Oh, he put his name in it? Yeah, it's not real.
Well, it's the Raheel Draft Algorithm.
As soon as they see his name, Real Draft Algorithm, they'll be like, "What is Raheel? Maybe he's got something here," and then they'll go like, "No, there's no science in this."
So wait a minute, what is Bernie the Wolf doing today?
Probably eating queso, or as he calls it, queso.
Well, wait a minute, this is his day. How come Mel Kiper and Todd McShay are getting all the love, and Bernie the Wolf is getting nothing here?
I know. He wants to, that's his always his argument too. He thinks Machay jacked him because he was the first one, you know, on the different AOL chat rooms and all that. That's why he says he's the original draft analyst. He's the original internet Twitter draft analyst, and he feels like Todd McShay is a personal enemy of his.
Has McShay ever heard him?
Mm-mm.
No.
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I doubt it.
No. Oh.
I doubt it. Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Have you ever drank anything that smells like old socks? Like
no.
Old, dirty socks that have been sitting there for years? Because JT
no.
just made me some, like, this cleanse thing. Oh, my God. I swear to God, I'm going to puke. It smells
nasty.
So bad. And it's like, oh.
That's what you get for
drink
cleansing,
this.
Though.
And it. Yeah, it's for cleansing. But he didn't put as much cayenne in it this time. He kind of pussed out on it. I mean, it's just, it's embarrassing, really. Yesterday was more like, whoa, there's some cayenne. Now he's like, uh-uh, I ain't doing that. But he doesn't like anything spicy, so. His mother liked it, though. But this is just gross. It is just gross. But it's supposed to help your metabolism like I need. Like, don't I have a triple-double going already? And it's supposed to help your metabolism. Right? I don't think I need
this.
You
got a triple-double going, John?
Yeah. On a daily basis. I'm going triple-double. But we'll see. Maybe I'll go quadruple-double, and which doesn't happen too much. We'll see. Right? I mean, that'll be –
I've never heard of a quad. I've never heard of a quadruple double.
What kind of big day is that, though, if you have
a quadruple double? It's not possible. You can't have a quadruple double.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've never had a quadruple double? Really?
No.
Oh, dude. I've had a triple double before 9 a.m.
You had not.
Oh, yeah.
That's not possible.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Would you rather drink JT's cleanse cocktail or the chocolate milk in his sippy cup that you used that you used before when you talked about dirt free? Ooh, I don't know.
What'd you do? Remember
JT used to turn his chocolate milk upside down, and I, you know, when we were talking about dirt free coming to the house because kids are rotten. And yeah. They would just turn their sippy cup upside down and pour the chocolate milk all over.
Wait, JT would do that too? I thought that was just Frankie.
No, Frankie did that so Luce would have to pick it up or clean it up. JT just did it because he was JT. He didn't purpose. JT didn't have a mean bone in his body. He didn't do that so Luce would have to work. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Frankie was just like, "Watch this, Luce. Now clean that up."
Oh, Twitter would not have been good. I'm glad you don't have any video of that.
Speaking of which, no. Speaking of which, did you see the wife of the pastor in Baton Rouge?
No. What do you mean?
Oh, my God. And this story starts like this. How about this? The Apostle Paul was jailed in Rome for preaching that Jesus Christ was God. Some 2,000 years later, another evangelist, Louisiana pastor Tony Spell, was jailed for trying to hit a protester with a bus. What the hell do those two things have in common, by the way?
Feels aggressive.
And it goes on. While legend holds that Paul was eventually beheaded by Emperor Nero, Mr. Spell will have to suffer no such fate. His wife, Shay, flashed $5,000 at the local jail, made bail, and brought her husband home. There's pictures of her, the pastor's wife. Now, the pastor, there are protesters outside because they're congregating. In Louisiana, you're allowed to congregate in a church still, and people are outside protesting. So what does the pastor do? He tries to run him over with a bus. So he gets put in jail. The wife is outside showing all the media her $5,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what a couple this is.
Can you get your people? Get your people.
Oh, these are not my. This is my wife's people. Okay.
No, you. Do you take on LSU as your own?
Yeah, but not these people. Okay.
No, you have to take them all. If you get Joe Burrow, then you get this guy too.
And listen, and this guy's name is Tony Snell. He ain't Cajun. Okay, his name's Tony Snell. He's not a Boudreaux or Babineau or none of those O's. So she ain't taking him on either. So, but you want to talk about a lack of self-awareness? Goodness gracious, woman. She's out there flashing hundreds to the media. Look, I got him out on bail. Now give me more money. Put more money in the offering. What? I mean, talk about. And how about this?
Are you saying there's something weird going on with the head of a church somewhere?
Yeah, go figure.
You know, that's interesting. Huh. You're trying to tell me in Louisiana there's not really any kind of a stay at home lack of social. There's a lack of social distancing type. That they're not really following some of the rules of safety in Louisiana.
Why do you think?
I don't believe that.
Why do you
I don't believe
think,
that?
Why do you think we're building a wall? Between us and Louisiana.
We have got to build some type of fortress where we can determine who gets in and who gets out. You know, we can't just let people from Texas just go into Louisiana at this stage either. It's got to be, are you sure? Because you can't come back for several months.
My wife goes,
nah, I'm good. You're right.
So my daughter was going to come in from Oklahoma this weekend, and her husband said, you know what, let's just wait. Let's just continue doing what we're supposed to do. Okay, I get that. So my wife goes, you want to go to Louisiana? Hell no. Go to Louisiana so we can quarantine for the next 2 weeks? No. What? No,
I don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to quarantine for 2 weeks. Are you kidding me?
No, I have no interest in quarantining.
No, I have none. No, zero interest in going to Louisiana. Zero. All right? But Tony Snell might run you over with a bus. Yeah. How about that? The pastor, comparing him to St. Paul, who was beheaded because he was preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, comparing that to Tony Snell, who runs over people with his bus so he can get his money at church.
Tony Snell's like, well, don't start and I won't be none.
Well, no. How about you know what? It's Tony Snell. That's why no one can go to Louisiana, because of Tony Snell and his wife's out there flashing hundies. Nice job.
It's better to be flashing hundies than flashing other stuff in public at this time.
Well, which one would Marty prefer?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, she'd rather some type of bribery happen.
Yeah, she'd much rather splash hundies than anything else.
Marty, what is worse, Venus de Milo or bribery? Oh, definitely Venus de Milo.
Venus de Milo. She's got no arms, I get it.
That's inappropriate.
Yeah.
That's inappropriate. Doesn't Tony Snell play for the Bucks? Is this his second job? Says Tori. Good point. I think they're different Tony Snells.
What about Tony Snell? Is that related to Darlene? It could be.
It's the first thing I thought of was what was Darlene's husband's name?
Oh,
I know. We should remember him because he had that crazy accent too that almost sounded like that could be Louisiana.
What was his name? Snell. I forget. Tony Snell. Yeah, he's kind of like Darlene in that he'll run you over. He'll kill you if you're in his way to make money. Yeah, kind of like that.
Do you know I saw, by the way, what's her name, with the Ruth Langmore on a different show on Amazon. I'm just going to watch one episode. Jacob Snell, there it is. When the land has this kind of effect on you, the land of the poppies is going to do that redneck hillbilly. What? I'm sorry, what, sir? What did you just say? I didn't understand this accent.
I got to watch Ruth Langmore on another show.
So she's on something on Amazon. It's like Love Story, I think it is, and Tina Fey's on it. But I want to see what she sounds like when she's not being a hillbilly.
Oh, I know. I love that. 843. But I just can't. Any other accent will be like, you're not Ruth Langmore, so speed it. That's all. Any other accent is just unbelievable. All right, 844 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5. All right, Lance, we'll be a better pro, Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb?
I'm going to go with CeeDee Lamb because I have him graded higher. But because I think it both could come down to where they're drafted, like who gets them. I think for Justin Jefferson, it matters more who gets him.
Okay.
And how they play him. Do they play him in the slot or outside?
Well, they'll probably have to play him in the slot, no?
Yeah, I think you have to. If you have him and you know. But then CeeDee Lamb might have to play in the slot some too.
Yeah, I know. He's kind of thin.
He's not the fastest guy.
And he's been in I've seen him a lot. He's done a lot of TV lately. Okay, going to be a better pro, Henderson or Okuda?
I'm going to go Okuda.
Okay. Going to be a better pro, Queen or Simmons?
I think the better pro career, I would probably take my chance on Queen because there are no question marks about him relative to it's not going to be about – so Simmons might need to be in the right – with the right kind of defensive coach. And if he is, he could end up being just a superstar. I think Queen's going to be good wherever he goes. I think he's just a good football player. I think people are kind of – to be honest with you, I think people are sleeping on Patrick Queen because he didn't start the season as a starter. He wasn't the one setting up the defense. He doesn't have years of production. I just know his tape was really good. He looks like an alpha. He looks like a typical LSU linebacker coming out who's fast and physical and makes plays. I think people are really sleeping on Patrick Queen.
I like him. He made a lot of plays. A lot of plays.
He did.
Going to be a better pro, Thomas or Becton?
I'll go the safe route and go Thomas. Becton has higher upside, but I'm going to take the safe route with Andrew Thomas.
Going to be a good pro, Grant Delpit?
No, I think average pro.
Yeah, I do too.
You watched him, and you haven't been all. There's just too many missed tackles.
Misses way too many tackles.
And, you know, I've heard the Patriots have him completely off their draft board because Bill Belichick says if you play safety, it is a non-starter if you don't tackle well. And anybody from LSU who tells you that he is actually a good tackler or that's not accurate that he's not a good tackler, because I've had people try to tell me that's a blatant lie. I can go watch every missed tackle because they're already charted. And he doesn't miss tackles. He misses some tackles because he gets out of position or maybe he'll overrun stuff. But a lot of them, John, like you'll see, he tries to come in like a freight train and lay people out. And then he doesn't, like, he bounces off of tackles. Instead of wrapping up and being fundamentally sound, he tries to just blow guys up. And that's one of the worst things you can do as safety. Just get them down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to make Twitter highlights. Don't try to make highlights. Just get them down. Get them down, be physical when you need to, and don't make mistakes. You know why it's called safety? Because there's a level of safeness that teams want from that position.
Be a better pro, Dobbins or Edwards-Helaire?
Edwards-Helaire.
I agree. I thought you were going to say Dobbins.
To me, they're very close, but I just think Edwards-Helaire, he can catch passes. Look, Dobbins is a good player. I just think Edwards-Helaire has juice.
I
know he's not as fast as Dobbins, but he's quicker than Dobbins.
I'm going to tell you who was your comp on Edwards-Helaire.
I know who yours is. Mine was Devontae Freeman. Yours is Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith. He looked just like him in college.
I think he's quicker. Emmitt is more downhill he can make cuts without changing speed. And actually, I do think that's very similar between those two guys.
Yeah, Edwards-Helaire did that a lot.
That's what I love about Edwards-Helaire is he can make a move without losing any speed. But I think when he runs, I feel like his mind processes so fast that if you show any inclination that this gap is going to be taken, he can get to the next gap. Or if you try to trick him by moving a little – you know, if you try to wait and then jump in one of the gaps that he's choosing, he can instantaneously choose another one or alter his rush path. He's good out of the backfield. He's going to be tough to guard and tough to cover out of the backfield, and he can return kicks. Like, there's just a lot to like. I don't think he's the most powerful runner between the tackles. I think J.K. Dobbins is more powerful, but there's some tread off the tires of Dobbins. There's not a lot of tread off the tire of Edwards-Helaire. He kind of came out of nowhere. All of LSU did. Think about this. No one was talking about Edwards-Helaire going into this season.
Or Burrow or Jefferson.
Or Joe Burrow or Jeff. Now, Jefferson had some heat not as a first rounder.
No.
Not as a first rounder.
Or Patrick Queen. Or
Patrick Queen wasn't even a thought to start.
You know
it was Michael Divinity.
About? You know who was talking about? It's Delpit.
Delpit was thought to be
the third overall pick.
Delpit was talked about more than anybody at all. And there's a good chance that Fulton goes, Queen goes, Edwards-Helaire goes, Joe Burrow goes, and Justin Jefferson goes. There's a good chance that five guys go ahead of Delpit. Isn't that crazy? How do you win a national championship when guys come out of nowhere to play way better than you expected?
Yep.
And also Chaisson. Chaisson will go ahead of him also.
Oh, yeah.
Six guys are going to go ahead of Delpit.
Two guys will be Hall of Famers in this draft class. Who are they?
Chase Young. Oh, man. I think I know who yours is.
No, you don't know who mine is.
Okay. Chase Young and
I'm not going to go Chase Young. Well, you kind of know who mine is.
Yours might be a CUDA. Well, that's a really good question, John. I don't know if I see a lot of gold jackets. If I had to choose one, I would say Chase Young and Jedrick Wills.
I'm going to go Joe Burrow and...
I knew it!
Derrick Brown.
Why'd you say I didn't know it?
Well, I was thinking of Derrick Brown at the time.
No, but Derrick Brown's actually a good one. I'm going to switch mine to Derrick Brown.
No, you can't switch.
No, I'm not switching.
You said it already.
I'm not switching to Derrick Brown because I don't think Derrick Brown rushes a passer well enough to be a Hall of Fame caliber.
Oh, I think he's going to make so many plays behind the line of scrimmage.
I think Simmons has Hall of Fame potential when it comes to their, you know, their total makeup. It would be Simmons. I think Becton has – you want to find guys with special physical potential. That's Mekhi Becton, Simmons, Ruggs. You want special elite traits. I think Burrow for the intangibles and the vision and the, you know, all the Brady-ish stuff. There are certain guys, obviously Chase Young, and probably Brown. You probably have to throw Brown because he has some dominant features in there also.
Now, I know he was up against college linemen, but, man, when you
I'm surprised no one's asked me about draft props. That's, to me, that's crazy that I'm not the guy. I'm surprised people don't come out of the woodworks on Twitter to ask me about draft props from around the country. It always blows me away that people aren't trying to use my information for forces of evil instead of forces for good like mock drafts.
Well, no, that's forces of good. Are you kidding me?
Evil.
I mean, to win money watching while you're sitting at home watching? That's like one of the great. That's not evil.
This year's harder than usual, though. In other years, I could have just killed. This year's harder than usual. The combine, I'm always good at predicting stuff with the combine because I've watched tape on all these guys. I've talked to scouts. I have an idea of what could happen. You never know. And sometimes I'm wrong on those. But this year's draft, I will say, is going to be harder, I think, from a prop bet standpoint, except for a couple of them are easy. But I'm not going to tell you guys because you didn't ask, so now I'm not going to tell you. Good night. Goodbye.
Okay. I'm going to ask you some right here. Okay. I've got some.
We're at the top of we're at the break.
Oh, we are. It's 8:57.
And next we'll is the do some draft of these analytics.
We'll do some with – we'll see what Raheel's algorithm pitted against your – algorithm, the LZ draft algorithm versus the Raheel draft algorithm. We'll do that on the other side. But right now we're talking about Absolute Marble and Granite. My man, Jeff Aronoff, he sent me a video yesterday. It was about golf and magic and nothing dirty because he's wholesome. He's clean. That's what Jeff Aronoff do. And what Jeff Aronoff do is he is really, really, really good at making your place look like $1 million, and you don't have to spend $1 million. He really does. When you see the every marble and granite and tile, I mean, they can make everything look so much nicer, so much richer, so much more expensive, so much more. And, oh, by the way, when you got the countertops, the marble, when you got all of these things, so much easier to clean and maintain. And unless you take a sledgehammer to them, they're going to last forever. So if you're looking for that kind of a way to improve the value of your home or business, if you really got to do something with your business and make a big project, now is the time to do it while they're closed. Jeff can get in there, get this job done. You don't need an architect because he can design the whole thing as well. He did with our outdoor kitchen. 713-880-2822. Absolute Marble and Granite. My man will take care of the business. 713-880-2822 is Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.